Hey, GWA Backstage. So I'm kind of bored and decided to dig through some of the questionnaires that are here. And I found one that I think is really cool, the Totally Unofficial Audio Questionnaire. This is really old. I mean, well, not really. It's a year old, and it looks like the author deleted it, so it seems kind of weird to answer these questions now. But I really like the questions, so fuck it. I'm just going to do it. Yeah, I'll just jump right in, as I have been known to do. Where do you rank erotic audio compared to other forms of adult entertainment, and why? I really enjoy erotic audio, obviously. I mean, that's, we all do, that's why we're here. I think that it's probably the highest ranked for me, and there are a couple of reasons for this. So, like, watching videos of porn, I really never listened to the audio components of that for a very long time. So, you know, like, as a teenager, I would just mute, because I was paranoid that, like, if I had headphones and my parents would walk in, I would notice, or something weird, but I would just, you know, mute it so that they couldn't hear and so that I wouldn't get caught off guard. And then as an adult, I think I was just worried about, like, my neighbors hearing it or something. I don't know. I'm paranoid. I'm weird about that kind of thing. So for most of my life, watching porn hasn't been an audible experience for me. So maybe that's why it's so attractive to me now. It's something that I've almost not quite deprived myself of, because I do listen to the audio when I watch porn sometimes. But I think that it's maybe a bit more unique and special to me because of that. And also, because I am a storyteller and I love, love listening to people tell me stories. So, and because I get really caught up in it, and I like the creative component and the imagination component, where I get to spend some time just, like, constructing a story and listening to someone construct a story. So instead of just, boom, here's the answer, here's the quick result of what you're trying to imagine, you have to construct it, and that takes time, and that, you know, builds arousal and things like that. So maybe the combination of the two, because I like reading stories as well, but something about hearing someone explain something to me, or even if it's not even, I just said even twice, oh man, I'm tired. If it's not actually a story, and even if it's just someone masturbating, there's something about it that's very unique and helps me rely on my imagination a bit more than other forms of adult entertainment. So I think that's probably why it's so highly ranked in my mind. I love it. Number two, which type or genre of GWA recording is your favorite? I think that masturbation audios are up there. They don't have to be exclusively that. It's just, I really enjoy people enjoying themselves. So again, this sounds contradictory, because I just said that I'm a storyteller and I like stories, and that's true. I do. I love stories, but something about the realness of masturbation audios, is really highly arousing as well. So, I'm not always in the mood to go listen to a story or try to put myself in a situation. Sometimes I just want to listen to someone enjoying themselves. So I think that I actually prefer those a little bit more. But otherwise, I really like, if I'm going to listen to a story of some kind, or some kind of scenario where someone's put effort into constructing this thing, then I tend to prefer things where there's some kind of dominance, or someone really just guiding me through what to do. So sometimes it's not like aggressive at all. Sometimes it's just very like, here, let me take care of you. And that's really hot. And other times I love, like, just the dominant, I'm going to use you and here's how I'm going to do it. And you're just going to lay there and take it. Those are kind of the things that I love the most. Yeah. Number three, have you discovered any new turn-ons since listening to GWA audios? I don't know if GWA audios have given me information about that. Sometimes I'll be a bit surprised at the extent of things. Like, I've listened to, somewhat recently I listened to, I can't remember whose it was. I'll see if I can track down whose audio it was because it was really hot. But it was a rape scenario. And I've always been kind of turned on by that, like just the aggression of it, the, you know, role playing sort of rape or something close to it. But this was intense. It was definitely, it was aggressive. And, you know, there were lots of sound effects that, were almost triggering, and they were actually frightening. And I almost turned it off because I'm a bit sensitive to actual violence, but something about hanging in there, it really turned me on. There was this build to it and it got really hot. So that kind of surprised me, I guess, the actual like realness of it, made me realize that I'm maybe a bit more turned on by that kind of thing than I thought. So that was kind of cool. But otherwise, I don't know if GWA audios have necessarily enlightened me. I'm pretty kinky. There's not much that I don't like. There are things I don't like, but they're limited. And I still don't like them. Still, they're just like, I just don't listen to those GWA audios because, yeah, they just don't do it for me. But I don't think there's been any recent discoveries over the last, I don't know, year and a half or whatever it's been since I've been on GWA. It's enjoyable, and I maybe get turned on more than I anticipated, but I don't think I've made any great discoveries from it so far. Number four, we all scan the tags and find the audios that pique our interests. With regard to title of the post or the person posting, name up to 5 tags on a post that will grab your attention, beginning with the gender tags. Okay, gender tags, the first thing I look for is male for female. That's my default. So even male for anyone, well, that would usually kind of indicate some kind of masturbation to it. So those are really hot too. Otherwise, female for anyone is probably the next thing because ladies are hot too. Love you, ladies. Female for female occasionally if I'm feeling a little bit of the lesbian thing going on, which I enjoy, then I'll seek that out. But that's very specific. I have to really be in a mood to just think about being only with a woman, which has happened less and less over the last few years. I used to be all over that. But now I'm a little more interested in hearing the men. I love the growls and the deep timbre of someone's voice. And, so specifically males targeting females. That sounds wrong. That sounds aggressive, and that's not how I meant it. Specifically, the M for F is what I look for first. Otherwise, I really like, things that are unscripted a lot. Whether it's intentionally kind of a story or not, I like the rambles and I like the realness of it. Scripted things are fantastic as well. You guys put so much effort into things that are beautifully crafted, just wonderful storytelling. And I'm not trying to discredit that because it's awesome. And sometimes I really want to hear you take me on a journey that you've crafted. But I think that I tend to focus more on the real, in the moment, spontaneous stuff. So that, things that indicate that, like masturbation tags, I really like moaning and growling, those kinds of tags, heavy breathing, and sometimes like some dominant related tags. I don't know what male dom, I guess, would be what that would be. Those kinds of tags generally grab my attention. Number 5. What manner of usual public dress gets your blood pumping? Examples: a man in a suit, a woman in a suit, a woman in a summer dress, a man in a uniform, a woman in cutoffs, etc. Yeah, a man in a suit is attractive, but maybe not like the business, like power suit kind of thing. Okay, I'm gonna describe the ultimate hot in my mind, for the type of guy that can pull this off. I really like a guy who has some kind of stylish hat, very, I don't know what that would be, 1920s or 30s, kind of the, bike messenger kind of thing. I don't know if that's just the image that pops in my head. I have no idea if that makes sense to anybody else. The hat is optional. It's a nice touch, I think. I like someone who wears a nice vest, maybe. And they don't have to wear a suit jacket. And actually, I kind of like it if they don't, but they just wear a nice suit vest over something. That's attractive. And then they can wear jeans or suit pants. That's fine. But I kind of like the mix of professional and casual. So a guy that can pull off a suit vest and like some Converse sneakers and a cool hat. It's kind of got like almost a... I definitely don't want to call it hipster because hipster's gone far away from this. But it's what I first thought hipster was when hipster was becoming a thing. Before hipster became so mainstream. It's just kind of a retro vibe, and I really dig it. It's super sexy to me. As far as ladies go, I don't know what it is about the ladies. I think for women it's more about how they present themselves. Men that way too, but I don't know if there's necessarily, like, specific attire for women that I find attractive. It's just more about the confidence level of the woman and what she's putting into how she dresses and, like, the pride she takes in what she's dressing. Again, I like that with men, but I think with women it's a bit more of a focus than what they're actually wearing. Number 6, where was the riskiest or most unusual place you've had sex or masturbated? I don't know if I should admit this. Okay. So I masturbated when I was in my late teens, when I was at work on a very slow day. I was sitting at the front register. No one had come in. So it was a retail environment. I'm not going to get more specific than that, but there was nobody in the store. And I was just kind of sitting by the window, and we weren't allowed to sit down, at work, but like, I think they told me that I could, cause I'm a good girl. I follow the rules. So I'm pretty sure that they said, like, it's so slow. If there's no one here, you can sit down. So I had the stool, and I was the only one in the store. My manager left, and I think it was a snow day or something. I don't know, whatever. It was a ghost town, and I was really feeling super horny, and I just masturbated sitting there at the front window looking out and, like, watching people walk by, and it was really hot, and I got really, really wet, and I came... so hard. I remember that it was really hot. And then I realized after that there were probably security cameras, and it freaked me out because I hadn't thought of that. But I never had any consequences come from that. I walked around and looked for security cameras and didn't see any, but I'm not convinced that there weren't any. So that kind of scared the shit out of me. I only did it the one time. And, you know, the one time at that workplace. But yeah, that was maybe not the best decision, but I really didn't care. It was pretty hot. And a little bit risky. Yeah. That could have not been good, but it was a while ago. Horny late teens. just the way that that goes. Number 7, other than the bed, what is your favorite place in the house to have sex? This is hard to think of because I haven't necessarily had adventurous non-bed sex in quite some time. So I'm trying to think about what I would want as opposed to what has been the reality in my life the last several years. I like the idea. I've done this before. It's been a while. I like the kitchen counter kind of concept or table. Just something that just, like, feels like it's supposed to be this proper place. And I like the idea of just desecrating that proper place. Just getting bent over and fucked pretty hard. That would be nice. It's been a while. In my mind, the shower, but that, it's never really been that great. Like, I've done it a fair amount over the years, and it never really is anything like it's gonna be in my mind. So maybe if shower sex could be like I imagine it, then it would be the best, probably, but I don't think that that's ever gonna happen. Maybe it's just the partners I've been with, it's just like a size compatibility thing, or like an awkwardness of the shower arrangement. I don't know. Maybe someday I'll have awesome, awesome shower sex that's not awkward and uncomfortable and too slippery and stuff like that. But I'll hold out hope. I'm gonna say that the kitchen counters probably, or table, or probably the places that are actually the most fun, though, other than the bed. Well, including the bed, they're probably more fun than that, too. Number 8, what accessories have you used with a partner? Accessories for the purpose of this question includes handcuffs, a corset, adult toys, a paddle, body paints, candles, or any other item or items you included to enhance the sex. Man, there are so many that I will forget a bunch. I've used a lot of things. Handcuffs, rope, I've used a corset, I've used various adult toys, including dildos for me, a dildo for a guy I was with at one point, candles, absolutely, wax, what else? Like, just different kinds of vibrators. I've used cock rings, nipple clamps. God, I know there's lots more. Blindfolds, ball gags. What else? Come on, brain. I'm not sure. Things like that. I'm sure that there's other stuff, but I've tried, like, edible body paints, I think. Yeah, I've done some edible something, like edible massage oil or paint or something. It was really gross, so I didn't continue. But who knows, maybe if one of you knows some fantastic edible body something, I'd love to know about it, because it sounds super sexy, but it doesn't usually work out that way. So help a girl out if you have any recommendations. Number 9, have you had a one-night stand? And if yes, was it a good or bad experience? Nope, I have not. I am pretty monogamous. I'm not a hoe-around kind of girl. Yeah, okay, let me back it up. I've not had a one-night stand, no. I've had a couple of hookups, which is the closest thing I will ever have to a one-night stand. And they weren't great, so not an exciting question for me. This one's good, though. Number 10, ever had a threesome, a foursome, a moresome? And if not, is it something you would ever do? Yeah, I've been in threesomes a lot. Two girls, one guy. I would be totally on board with the two guys, one girl as well. And I would be on board with maybe four. I feel more like that's a swapping kind of situation. And there's nothing wrong with that, conceptually. But again, as I've said in previous audios, and probably in this one as well, I am a monogamist, and I don't really have sex with people unless I am committed. So a threesome, I would do again, but there would be a lot going into it. So it would either have to be, like, real shallow, which I don't see myself doing, but maybe if I was really, like, maybe if I went without sex for a while and was feeling really horny, I've considered it whenever I'm single. But that's less likely. Or what's probably more likely is if I was in a real committed relationship, like with someone that just absolutely, clearly just adored the shit out of me. And it was so clear that that was always going to be the case. If that was the case, then maybe, like if I were married and wanted to have a lady friend or pick up a new lady friend, come over and join us, then that might be a possibility. But I think that that would probably be the only time I would do it again in the future. Number 11. Would you rather be tied up or be the one tying the knots? Oh, most definitely being tied up. Whew. Just even... Yeah. Being tied up is something that I really enjoy. Big time. It's not that I wouldn't ever tie the knots. I, if I'm feeling aggressive, find that really hot. Just maybe taking that same person who ties me and pins me down and just uses me, taking them and flipping it every once in a while, maybe tying his hands, but it wouldn't be like tying up, because I'm not dominant at all. I can occasionally pull that out of myself, but really it's, I'm so much happier just being, used. So tie me up, please. Please. Love it. Number 12. When you're nearing an orgasm, what word or words or phrases will make you come? I think it depends on what's going on. So if it's like real aggressive, then some pretty hardcore... Well, I don't even know what hardcore dirty talk is. Just shit like calling me a slut and a whore and... Yeah. Other situations, maybe if it's a bit more sensual, it could be things like come for me or I'm gonna come in you or things, I don't know. Like, I don't know. This is not exciting for me. This question is not exciting for me because I don't know. I don't know if I've had partners that really talk to me much. I would like that, but I don't think that that's happened much in my life. And that's fine. It's been fine. I like sounds and sensations and stuff, but having someone who's actually talking to me and, being expressive that way is not something I'm super familiar with, so I'm not sure. Number 13, do you have multiple orgasms, and what is your record number of orgasms in one day? Not usually. It's very hard for me to come when someone else is trying to make me come. So maybe that goes back to that last question, too. It's not that they can't, but usually it takes a really long time, and I kind of hover on that threshold for a while, and usually my partners are just not quite... I don't want to say they're not patient, because that's not true. I think I feel like they've been impatient, and that's, you know, not their doing necessarily. I'm angry at myself for not getting easy to push over, for not being easy to push over that threshold. So I kind of stay there for a while, and I really need someone that's going to persist. Even when I'm like, no, don't worry about it. If they persist, they can make it happen. And that usually, that's not fair. It's totally not fair. This has nothing to do with them. It's just, weird. What was the question? Multiple orgasms. I got distracted. So I occasionally do, and it's almost exclusively when I'm masturbating. I come all the time when I'm masturbating, but that's because I know what I like. If I think about my record number, in one day. I don't know, a lot. So not necessarily back to back, but I mean, when I was younger and single, I would sometimes masturbate like a few times a day. I'd say my record number is probably somewhere around like 6. I don't know if that's accurate. I'm just pulling that out of my ass. I don't know. That seems like the high end. I probably have had about 6 in one day before. It's been a long time if that's the case, but it's not super uncommon for me to have like 2 a day. Sometimes I go like a week or two without masturbating. Weird. Other times I can't go a full day, so I'll do it in the morning and then do it again in the evening and maybe a few times in the evening. Like, it just depends on the day and depends on what's going on in my life. So I have them, but not always in the same session, I guess. Number 14, which sexual fantasy do you wish could come true? This is really weird, because I've acted out most of my fantasies in my life, so I don't have a lot of things I haven't done that I want to do, which is pretty cool to be able to say, actually. But the one thing I've never done is had someone fuck me against a wall, and that seems really basic. I think part of it's because I'm a big girl, but even when I wasn't, that just didn't happen. And someday I'd like that to happen. I'd really like someone to just pick me up and slam me against a wall and just fuck me against a wall. That seems hot. And it's weird to say that because of all the things you could fantasize about, it seems pretty vanilla. But it would take some muscle strength. It would take someone who's pretty strong, and I would probably have to be a bit more toned than I am now to make that happen comfortably for everyone. But someday maybe I can make this happen, the right partner. Number 15, have you or you and a lover taken dirty pictures or videos of yourself or yourselves, and what has become of those pictures and or video? Pictures, yeah. I don't think I've had pictures of me with someone. No, I haven't. I haven't had any pictures of me like in the act or with someone, or any videos. I haven't done videos. I will do occasionally some videos of myself masturbating and send them to whoever I'm enjoying at that point. But I'm not a big fan. I'd rather just use imagination and words or be present with someone. So that's not something I'm super into overall. This is a good one too. Number 16, have you ever gotten so wet or so erect in public that you had to go find a private place? Do tell. Yeah, all the time. I get really wet when I get horny. So if there's like this building horniness, I look like I peed myself sometimes. So when I was younger, especially, like when I was, I don't know, like 17 or something, there were times where it was running down my inner thigh and like down past my knee. I think there were a couple times where I felt like my ankles wet and I didn't even know that was possible. It hasn't happened in a really long time. Like that was, yeah, it's probably been like almost 10 years since that's happened. But it has happened. and there are times where I'm just like, I have to go take off my underwear because it's soaked so much that if I sit down, it's going to like make my pants wet, which seems counterintuitive because you think that I would just make my pants wet, but it just adds to that. So I have to go take off my underwear and, deal with it. Like just go get some of that dried up. Sometimes I've gone and masturbated like that time at work that I talked about. There have been a couple times like that. But for the most part, I just like try not to, it's a building arousal thing. So it's not like I can just quickly go and, rub it out. Usually I'm in an environment where that's not okay. So I just go deal with it the best I can, and come back and try to not think about whatever's arousing me until I get home. And then I'm still wet. It can be like 8 hours of me not thinking about it. And I'll get home and just boom, instantly again, just soaking wet. There are, like, literally have been times where it looks like I peed myself. It's actually kind of inconvenient, but it's also really nice other times. I've never had an issue. I don't need lube. I've had partners use lube, and I'm like, no, dude, just give me a chance. This just means I'm not horny, so give me a break. But yeah, this happens all the time, actually. I get pretty wet. Number 17, what part of your body, excluding genitalia, ass, or tits, instantly becomes erogenous when touched, kissed, or licked the right way? Describe. I feel like all the things that I'm thinking of are typical things. So excluding genitalia, ass, or tits, like all the other erogenous zones that humans have. Earlobes, if someone nibbles. Whew. Oh, even just thinking about it right now, just send a shiver through me. That was weird because I'm not aroused, but apparently thinking about it makes me excited. You know, like my jawline. That sounds weird, but just very, very gently moving from like ear kind of down across the jaw, neck, collarbone. Yeah. Ooh, yeah, that stuff is good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't know if there's anywhere else. Occasionally, maybe like gently stroking my arm or something. But kissing and licking, I don't know. I think it's more around the neck, face, ears, those kinds of things. It's pretty great. Number 18, how important is the size of his cock or her tits? Yeah, I'm reading this right. How important is the size of his cock or her tits matter to you in real life? How much does it matter in fantasy? Why? In real life, it's not a deal breaker, but it's helpful. So I've said this before in other questionnaires, but I'm a little on the tight side. I've been told this, like, I don't actually know if this is true. So I've had half of my partners tell me this. And I don't know if it's because they're just like excited or if it's because they are bigger part, like they were bigger partners. So maybe they have a better gauge. Maybe they're just, they know. I don't know. They've told me I'm tighter than other people, but it's, that doesn't seem like it. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway. So if they're bigger, it can hurt. If they're actually if they're huge, yeah, it hurts. So then it's a problem. Unless he knows what he's doing, which they usually do. Because I date men who are a little bit older and know how to work with what they've got. So, in terms of it mattering, if it's too big, that matters to me, unless he knows how to use it. If it's too small, I haven't really had a problem with this. Again, it's about knowing what you're doing. So it's not, in reality, it's not really a big deal if he knows what he's doing. He can have whatever he's got and make it work. Boobs matter to me. If I'm with a girl, she's got to have something. And that sounds super shallow, but really my interactions with women are kind of shallow. Because I, again, have become more interested in men. So if I'm going to be with a woman, it's because I'm just purely lustful toward her. And if that's the case, then she's got to have boobs. So they don't have to be huge, but they have, like, flat-chested girls just don't really do it much for me. There are occasional exceptions to that. But boobs in real life are kind of important. In fantasy? Oh, in fantasy, he has a giant penis, and it's amazing. Yeah, in fantasy, if I'm thinking about it, in fantasy, I don't necessarily think about size that much, but if I'm thinking about size, it's that he's just, he's got enough to just fill all the right places. Yeah, I don't know if I know why. It's just because it's hot and It helps me. It's hard for me to come with a partner. So, but I have had a couple of orgasms caused by penetration, and it's because they're huge. So when that happens, I think that's why I think about it in fantasy, because those are the few times I've had orgasms from penetration. I think maybe like 3 times ever. Yeah. And size helps with that for sure. Number 19, how would you go about undressing your lover if you're standing and facing, if you're standing and facing each other? Describe the process in detail. Ooh, I like detail questions. If we're standing and facing each other, I would be kissing him. I love kissing. I love taking the time to like make out. Like, I mean, it sounds so high school, but the slow process of kissing and teasing, nibbling on his neck, licking and teasing his neck and his ears and his jaw and his collarbone, all the stuff that I like. And while I'm doing that, just slowly running my hands down his side and up under his shirt and slowly pulling it up over him. Yeah, just this grazing his skin as I pull it up and just kind of tracing my fingers and keep kissing until, you know, I have to break to pull the shirt up and then go back to kissing and licking. It's just delightful. And then I would unbuckle his belt if he had one, or unbutton his pants and slowly unzip them again while kissing. And I really like, using my mouth and my hands. I'm a very tactile person. I like the sensation of skin on skin and my hands. So I would kind of run my hands, you know, down his stomach and waist. And as I unzip, keep kissing and licking and probably move down his body. Maybe, you know, go and kneel down in front of him while I pull his pants down. Because usually I'm gonna put my mouth on his penis. So if I'm undressing him and it's actually, and we're standing, it's because I'm gonna suck on him. So, I'll probably move down to my knees and go that way. If I'm not gonna do that, if we're, gonna just jump into it, or if he's getting really excited and, you know, wants to not do that right away, then, and not do the oral sex. Sometimes he's just not in the mood. That's okay. That's, guys are unique. then I'm probably going to be laying down for the pants removal, so it's a little different. But if I'm standing up, then slowly pulling them down, slip my forefinger under the waistband of his underwear, like around his sides, kind of, and slowly pull it down. Again, just kind of grazing his skin as I do it and kissing and licking him, like on his neck and his chest. And just being very deliberate and slow and sort of savoring the moment if I'm gonna do that. If we're standing up, that's probably what's happening. Actually, if I'm undressing him, that's probably what's happening. If it's just going to be fast and, you know, we're just going to move on, then he'll usually undress himself. But if I'm actually going through the process of undressing him, I'm going to take my time and draw it out because I really like the build-up to what's going to happen next. And number 20, what do you consider to be good foreplay, and about how long should it take on average? Good foreplay for me is a lot about the kissing and stuff I've been talking about. I like to build up something. And so if it's someone that I haven't been with as much, maybe it's not, you know, I haven't been with them for a long time, then that is really important. And that's important always. I would like to maintain that throughout whatever kind of relationship I have. But especially if it's someone new or fairly new, it's just, I want to get to know what their mouth is like and what sensations they enjoy, on their neck and their, you know, chest and things like that. And to do that, I kind of take my time. And, so good foreplay for me giving it to him is that kind of thing. For me receiving it, it's very similar. Someone who's willing to just slow down and just tease me a lot, have me build with that anticipation. So the kissing and the licking, very gently moving his hands around my body and just feeling the different parts of my body and seeing how I react over time, and slowly undressing. Those are the things that I consider really good foreplay. Maybe how long should it take on average? Like at least 10 minutes. I mean, if I'm being practical here, if I'm being like, this is reality and how people usually have sex, I'm going to say 10 minutes. That feels like a really long time. But I feel like that's what really, like, I get really wet, but you got to give me a little time to get there. And if I'm really wet, then I'm turned on. So, that doesn't happen a lot, or it hasn't happened a lot in, some of the more recent years. So I really appreciate that. The deliberate kind of taking your time, letting me warm up, and letting me just need you. Other foreplay, that I really enjoy is like sexting and build up. Sexting sounds, again, so high school. But just some kind of like throughout the day teasing, just getting my mind in a dirty place, because clearly I have a dirty mind. You just need to remind me, and let me explore my imagination, because I have a really dirty imagination. So those kind of little, like, planting that seed throughout the day, that's another kind of foreplay that I really, really like. It doesn't have to happen all the time, but it helps. It helps a lot. And then I don't necessarily need as much of the other stuff, although it's still really fun and I enjoy it. But just some kind of anticipation, things that build anticipation like that are the kinds of things that I consider really good foreplay. So, this is fun. I am glad I found this questionnaire. I'm kind of sad that I'm a year late. But hopefully it's still kind of cool. It looks like there's another one. So maybe I will take the number two at some point, take answer. I don't know how you, it's not a test. I don't know what that's about. I'm tired and it's been a long day. But yeah, hopefully you enjoyed my rambling, and I'm sure I will post answers to more questionnaires in the future. Thanks, guys.